This is Dylan.
This is Nick. And you're listening to
Colloquium, Colloquium.
Hello and welcome to Colloquium. We're here live at Good News Cold Brews. And we're really excited for this tonight. It's our first ever live podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't know, we're here at... Thanks for the wild round of applause. Yeah. So for those of us who can't see and are just listening, we're here at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. There's about 5,000 fans here. You just can't hear them. So we're really excited and a little bit nervous for all of this huge crowd here tonight. So anyway.
Yeah. And I don't really know the point of this. We have Batman socks on the mic, but somebody who knows sound told us it's a good thing to put socks on the mic when you're recording. That could be a complete lie, and he's just pulling the wool over our eyes, but
it builds character.
We're doing it. So, Batman logos, we love it.
Awesome.
So, Betsy and gave us a good introduction. We are a podcast. We're called Colloquium. The colloquium is the Latin word for conversation. So, conversation is something we're very passionate about and is really a part of what we're doing and what we want to bring to our local community and our audience, wherever they may be. So what we're going to talk about tonight, though, I think is very much connected with conversation and good conversation. It's related. I think conversation is going to be one of the big things we're talking about when it comes to this topic. But, Nick, do you want to go ahead and tell them what our topic is and what you think about it?
Sure, yeah. So tonight we're going to talk about a transformative community. So kind of, I guess what we mean by that, it's kind of hazy, I think. Community, what does that mean? So we'll just kind of make it really simple. I think kind of what we mean is just a group of friendships centered on Christ. That's what we mean. So transformative community friendships could not be Christ-centered. You could have friends and it not be Christ-centered. What we're talking about when we talk about transformative community, I think, is the type of friendship that is centered on Christ. That's what we're talking about.
Sure.
Is that fair?
Yeah. Okay. So I guess how I want to start with that is I think like, when we say transformative community, I think for both of us, an image comes to mind or an experience comes to mind. So I want to start off by asking you, Nick, can you take us into that? What does transformative community look like? What's that look like for you?
Yeah, so you think, so really quick, let me jump back and just talk about, so I want to emphasize kind of the point of transformative community, I think, is friendship. Like I said before, what we're talking about is a friendship. A community is just a group, a series of friendships. So I think we need to talk about what friendship means first,
okay.
And then we can provide
sure.
some examples. Is that fair? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the image of friendship I think of that I know we've discussed before is kind of two people sharing in something and looking outward.
Right.
So it's looking at each other, sharing a relationship, but also kind of gazing out at something else.
Right. Yeah. So, I have this book over here called The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis. I don't know if anyone's read this. If I say anything thought-provoking or profound, don't think it's me. It's probably from this book. I'm just probably going to quote there a lot tonight. Okay, so I'll quote from it. I'll just paraphrase. So basically what C.S. Lewis has to say about friendship, he says something really interesting. He says, hey, the people who actually want to go out and say, hey, I want some friends, those are the people who actually don't have friends. And what he means is friendships are about something other than the friendship. So if you go out and you say, hey, I want some friends, I want to make some friends, you can't, by virtue of what friendship is, have friendships. You have to be about something as friends. So that's just a really important concept before I think we move into our examples.
Yeah, I think, well, one, I share that sentiment when I'm teaching. I always, like, I probably quote C.S. Lewis at least once a week. So I definitely share that. Like, anything I say probably comes from C.S. Lewis or... Yeah, probably just C.S. Lewis.
Okay. Or me.
Anyway, so yeah, but I think that image is interesting. So if you bring up this idea of, okay, friendship, I think in a way that's a little counterintuitive. Because when I think of friendship, my instinct is to think about, no, it's about me and the person I'm friends with. So if it's not about that, what else is it about?
So more generally, friendship could be about something that both of you care about or see. So it could be centered around, I really love, Betsy claims I love soccer, which is true. So it could be a friendship centered around, you know, growing and being a better soccer player or growing in your knowledge of the game or that. But I think the type of friendship we're talking about tonight is the kind that's focused on Christ. It's about growing in Christ and growing in our relationship with the Lord. That's kind of what we're talking about, I think. Huh?
Yeah, I think that's ultimately the pinnacle of friendship, right? We can share friendship over our sport. We can share it over a musician. We can share it over a lot of different things. But where it finds its, I think, ultimate fulfillment is in sharing relationship with Christ.
Right.
And I think that ultimately friendship, that's what at its best it's oriented towards. And I think it's that moment where, you know, maybe we encounter Christ in a profound way, and we just desire to share that with somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. We're made for communion, for community. We're made for a relationship with God, but also a relationship with others. And so I think that there's something in us when we're maybe trying to live in relationship with God on our own that longs for something else, that longs for somebody to welcome in to that community or mm-hmm. to that communion. And I think that is the place where Christ-centered friendship ultimately starts, is that longing to share in it.
Awesome. So have you been a part of this kind of community before, Dylan?
No, I don't know what
really?
We're talking
okay.
about, actually.
All right, so share us some examples, if you have any, of kind of a community that you were a part of.
So the image that comes to mind, or the experience that comes to my mind, was when I was a missionary in Colorado, we had the best Easter celebrations. And I remember my first year out there in particular. So my team director was Calvin Mueller. Some of you might have known or heard of him. He was an MC at SEEK at Focus conferences before. So he was my team director. He was my only other male teammate. Spent a lot of time together. He was also just like a captivating personality. Like when he spoke, people listened. So anyway, he was known for having people over and for having big get-togethers at his house. And after the Easter Vigil, we a bunch of students and missionaries went to the Easter Vigil, and we welcomed several students into the church that year. And we had a big party at Calvin's house. And it actually wasn't originally supposed to be at Calvin's house. Our priest was going to host it outside the rectory, but it was raining. So Calvin offered to have a bunch of people over in his garage. And that night, I just remember about probably like 40 people or so crammed into his garage, not COVID friendly, but it was before COVID, so it was okay, but just crammed into his garage, just encountering each other in good conversation, drinking whiskey, smoking cigars, and just, I remember the conversations that night, they were substantial, and they were meaningful, and I remember that night, not because it was a bunch of people in a garage, but I remember the people I encountered, and I remember the conversations that I had. And I think that was something that made that experience, because that was a community, right? These are people, some people I'd not met before, some people I barely knew. But we were part of a community, and that community was fueled through our church. But I think it started with having, ultimately there, in that case, a reason to celebrate. And that's the resurrection of Christ. So that's the experience I think of when I think of transformative community, because there are a lot of things about that community, especially the way people encountered each other, that were transformative.
Beautiful. Awesome.
What about you?
Thanks for asking. Let's see. So, yeah, I have an example of, I guess, like 2.5 years ago. I was a part of a community in Focus. Both Dylan and I, of course, were in Focus, and we have a lot of experiences from there. So don't roll your eyes when we talk about Focus during the podcast or during this live show. It'll happen multiple times. But I was a part of the summer projects of Focus in 2018. So it's a kind of a growing a new thing in Focus, where it's basically their summer camp for college kids. So I think there's over 500 involved right now in multiple locations and over the summer in Focus. I was a part of it when there were only 70 in Colorado. It's actually about an hour from where Dylan was a missionary. So I got to spend time around his land a little bit. But yeah, so there's about 70 of us. I can think of, so 70, how many relationships is that? I'm a math major, but I can't do public math. So I don't know how many relationships that is with 70 people. I could think of probably
public math.
So I'm not even going to try right now. I can think of probably one or two relationships in that 70-person group that weren't great. So think about that for a second. About 70 or so relationships. Think about all the clashes and, you know, back and forth that people could have and the multiple personalities. I could think of maybe one or two relationships in that group that weren't great. It's hard to wrap your mind around. It is. It was true. And so basically, let me just kind of lay out kind of our lifestyle. For 2 or 3 months, I was one of the missionaries. I was out of college at the time. And the students would work at the local YMCA there. Missionaries, we were responsible. We had, you know, 3 or 4 students as disciples. So we would kind of do weekly, you know, one-on-one mentorship with them and Bible studies with our small group and so on and so forth. And in the evenings, we would have adoration, mass. There would be a talk of some sort a couple days a week. And besides that, we would just hang out. I mean, I was a missionary, so I didn't even have to work at the YMCA. So I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just walking around Colorado, hanging out with God students and praying and going to mass. It was incredible. But the thing that made the relationship so amazing was, again, it was centered on Christ. That's what we talked about. That's what we did. That's what we thought about. It absolutely centered everything that we did for those 3 months. And as a result, the relationships and our ability to become more like Christ flourished. So yeah. That was the best example of community that I have ever had. I was blessed by God to experience it because I really feel like most people don't.
I think the word we're using, transformative, I think is really relevant to your example. I think just in being friends with you and hearing you talk about those experiences through summer projects and just some of the friendships that you, Nick, had with missionaries. I'm looking at you.
Oh, me? Oh.
Yeah.
I was looking for my pizza. Sorry. Okay. I've been waiting on my cheese pizza for like 30 minutes, but nowhere is coming. Okay.
Just knowing you, I know that community and those friendships that you had and the community that you were a part of was transformative for you. It left you changed. And so I think the word transformative is especially relevant when we're talking about the kind of community that you've had experience with.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
So yeah. I think that kind of leads into the next question. It might answer the next question for us, but I think what I want to talk about is ultimately, why do we need community? And maybe that's self-evident in kind of the impact we've talked about it having, but how would you answer that? Why do we need this kind of community?
Yeah, I didn't put this on the outline, so forgive me. But one little preface to this is, so one thing that C.S. Lewis, again, has to say about this kind of a thing is, we a lot of times don't think of friendship as one of the four loves. And a lot of times it's because none of us have any. So that's very strong language, very strong. He says I strengthen it too much. He says few people have them. Okay.
Yeah.
He says few people have them. That's why we don't think of it as one of the four loves. The type of friendship he talks about, very few of us have. So that's one thing to go as we jump into why we need community. And one of the reasons why he says that is because we don't really need it to live as human beings. We don't really need it to live and survive. So that's kind of a point to why we need community. The answer is really to live and to make it through our lives, we really don't. But I think the question is why we want it if we want to thrive as human beings.
And I think, this might be a slight tangent to your tangent there, but one of the things I think C.S. Lewis is rooted in is Aristotle's ideas of friendship.
Right.
And so I think of like he has a few I think at least 3 kinds of friendship that Aristotle talks about. He talks about friendships of pleasure, right? So you spend time with somebody because they bring you pleasure. You get some sort of joy out of that experience. Friendships of utility, which is like a business relationship, right? You help me, I help you, so we get along and we're friends. But then he talks about friendships of virtuous friendships. And I think that's what Lewis is talking about
right.
when he talks about friendship is it's friendship where you're walking alongside each other towards Christ, friendship where you call each other higher, challenge each other, and grow.
Great.
And I think that's what's really lacking a lot of times, and that's what few people have.
So the question is, why do we want that?
Right.
Right? Yeah. Why do we want or why do we desire that as human beings?
Right.
Yeah. Right. Ultimately. I asked you the question, so I'm putting it back on you now.
I think ultimately it draws us. Oh, Nick's pizza's
My
here.
Pizza's here, everyone. For our listeners, thank you. Let's give it up for our waiter here.
You're not going to eat that as we talk.
Very well might. All I'm right. pretty hungry.
Right. If I go on for like a long time, it's probably because Nick has his mouth full and I'm just.
I think I would have to say a blessing on air, so I'm probably not going to do it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. All right. Anyway, so I think the reason why we need that, I think it calls us out of ourselves. It calls us out of complacency. And I think we'll talk about this when we talk about some of the things that are lacking, the reasons why maybe we don't have this community and don't have this friendship, is I think there's a complacency that we can have. And I think especially as young adults, you know, 20-something, especially if you're not in your vocation yet, You know, you're going to work, you're working 9 to 5, you come home, you're tired. Maybe you have a small group 1 or 2 nights a week, you have another thing you do, and then on a different night of the week, bowling league, I don't know what people do. I don't have friends, so.
Bowling league? You do not go to bowling league.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, I think outside of those nights, you might have 3 nights a week where you have something scheduled. You're just tired, and you don't want to go out and make friends or challenge yourself. And so I think this complacency can keep us from that. But I think ultimately what we need is we need friendship. We need community filled with this kind of virtuous friendship to draw us out of ourselves and to draw us out of our complacency.
Right. Amen. Yeah. Let's touch on the drawing us out of ourselves again. I think we're going to go back to complacency later when we talk about the challenges of building community, these types of friendships. We're going to talk about that later on. But drawing us out of ourselves. I know when I've been in a community like this, I've been more myself. I don't know if that's what you mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't know if y'all been to a wedding and the reception when the maid of honor gets up and she says, you know, I just feel like, you know, Mr. So-and-so just makes my sister, you know, more of herself, you know, and she's that kind of a thing. All right. That's real in friendships. I kind of said it in a cheesy way.
Yeah, you're right.
But,
you're right.
I'm thinking of a particular example when the maid of honor said that, by the way, and it was beautiful. It was true. And so we're talking about friendship, though, and I think friendship does the same thing. When I'm around Dylan and when I'm around my other friends, that build me up and give me life, I'm more who I want to be. I'm more who I'm meant to be. I can feel it. I can sense it when I'm around them. Words flow easier. I trust them more. I'm able to kind of, I don't know, just jump around the room in a more free way. Freedom is the word that I think of when I think of being around friends that you trust and that give you life, that draw you out of yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know if I get to give a toast at your wedding, I know what I'm going to say now. So thank you for that.
Wait, are you going to say my spouse makes me more myself or you?
Well, maybe a little both.
All right, okay. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, are you satisfied with that? Do you think there's another reason why we need this kind of community and friendship?
I'm looking at the list, and I think we've covered several of the things. So okay. Actually, we have one more that I think we need to talk about is...
Okay.
Transformative community, a group of authentic friendships, mirrors heaven. That's what heaven's going to be like.
Right.
When we're together and we're praising God together and we're being with one another and we know each other fully, that's what heaven is. That's what heaven's going to be like. So when you're in a community like this, you get a taste of heaven. You get a taste of heaven. I'll let that sink in for a second. And what kind of what that means. And ask yourself really, too. I think we need to ask as we kind of move forward from this conversation, this colloquium, is if my friendships and my friend group and my community doesn't feel like heaven, doesn't feel like, oh, that's what heaven should be like, then we need to reconsider. We need to make changes. Anyway, I don't know if that's fair.
Well, I think that one that takes us into, I think, the next point about what does that look like? What does transformative look like? How does it look like that experience?
Right.
But I also think, I mean, yes, it should be, you know, heavenly in a sense, right? It should mirror heaven, but it's also not going to be perfect at that, right? It's not going to be our ultimate, we're not going to find our ultimate fulfillment in community or in friendships, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So I think ultimately, but I think your image of friendship and it not being about your relationship, it being ultimately about looking outwards towards God together, I think kind of solves that problem as well.
Right. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what sorts of things do you think are a part of a transformative community?
Okay. So let's touch on the initial one, right? Christ-centered. The community that the kind of friendships that we're talking about is Christ-centered. Gosh, I keep looking over here at my pizza. It's distracting me. I may have to take a bite here in a minute. Christ-centered. So let's talk about that for a second. Again, friendships are about something else. So because of that, because if communities are about Christ, I found that it allows for a huge diversity of personalities, a huge diversity of people to be friends. And the reason why is because when you have Christ as your center and your focus, there's always an infinite number of things to talk about. Christ never, he's infinite. Right, you never run out of things to explore and experience and to grow in. And when that happens, you always have something to talk about with that person, regardless of how different they are from you. if that center is the same.
Yeah. And I think with that, I think transformative communities too, I think you can judge a community by look at who's a part of it and who's welcomed, right? Are people that are different, are they being welcomed into this community, or is it just kind of all people who tend to think the same and speak the same and there's not really a whole lot of diversity in there? I think that's a real weakness of striving for this kind of community if you don't have that as well. I think about, you know, the Saints were weird, right? So if you're part of a community, like, right, you're going to have normal people, you're going to have eccentric people, you're going to have all sorts of different personalities. And I think that's about being ourselves and walking with Christ together. And I think when you're doing that and you're being inviting, that's going to be the case. It's not all going to be a bunch of robots, you know?
Right. Amen. Yeah. I think kind of a tangent, I don't know how many times we've gone on a tangent now. But so I want to talk about something I think is really important, in that I know I forget a lot of times when I'm in my communities or my friendships. And you know, the question, how are you doing? That's a powerful question. That can be a powerful question. It can. But I want to suggest, and C.S. Lewis suggests this also, that you'll notice if you're in an authentic transformative community how infrequently that question happens. It actually doesn't happen a lot. And it does sometimes, and it's needed when it's needed. Okay, but it actually doesn't happen a lot. And the reason why, I kind of want to read this quote from The Four Loves instead of trying to paraphrase. I think he says it best here. So give a listen. It might be hard to listen. I'll summarize when I'm done reading it. Lewis says, "If we had attended less to the thing our friendship is about, we should not have come to know or love each other so well. You will not find the Christian by staring in his eyes as if he were your mistress. Better fight beside him, read with him, argue with him, pray with him." So the thought there is, you actually won't come to know your friend as well unless you focus on what your friend's center is. Mm-hmm. So if I'm talking with Dylan and I'm spending most of my time talking about how Dylan's doing and what Dylan's about and where he's going, I won't actually get to know Dylan because his center is Christ. So that's what C.S. Lewis is saying there. A really profound way, I think, to kind of alter the way we think about our friendships.
Yeah, I think that's a really fascinating point to sit with. And I think that, in a way, it's kind of a both and. I think that, like you said at the beginning, like, we don't ask each other how we're doing enough, right? And I think of times in my life, too, where maybe I've been in a routine, I've been kind of complacent, and somebody asks me how I'm doing, and I'm just kind of like, it sits weird. It's like, wait, no, I don't want to talk about that. Can we talk about football or something? Like, yeah. I don't want to go there. But like, once you let that person in, and once you have a relationship of trust where you talk about those things, well, then you discover something, right? You discover what that person is struggling with or what they're passionate about, right? And then the next step, I think, is to be able to turn outward towards that,
right?
Thing, right. And get them to look outside of themselves, because when we're only looking at ourselves, I think that can be a dangerous place.
Right. Yeah. Don't hear me saying that I'm not going to ask you how you're doing when it's needed. Don't hear me saying that. Yeah, I think that's a good point. That when it's needed, it's needed. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think we have to, I think, move past that in order to become friends and get to know each other well. Right. I think.
Yeah.
And I think you'll find too, when you're in the context of an authentic community, you'll find that, hey, I'm doing great.
Right.
I'm great. And I think that leads into maybe another point that I want to bring up about kind of the nature of community, is that it makes crosses lighter. Crosses are easier to bear. I know, again, I've found that tangibly to be true in my life. And I'm sure in my Focus Summer Projects experience that I had hard days. I can remember a couple, but I really just do not remember them very well if I did have hard days. I'll tell you what I remember is the amazing friendships and community that I had, and how that made me feel.
Right.
So,
I think I wasn't going to originally plan on asking this, but I think I know that you've had an experience of leaving that community and then going into a place where you really lacked community for a little bit and then kind of started to find it again. And so I was wondering if you could kind of compare that experience of not having community to having community.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's kind of funny because I don't know if I have the experience of thinking like, gosh, I wish I wouldn't have experienced the amazing community, because then it wouldn't have made the lesser version, or like not having community, as hard. You know, so it was kind of that experience, right? Coming back to Huntsville, and gosh, y'all, I probably went 2 years of being here, and this is my home. I went to high school here, and just kind of coming back from Focus and from that experience, you know, and just, you know, not really having anybody that I had that with, you know. This is not going to be "and then I met Dylan" story, so don't ask for that.
That's the only reason I asked.
Is that right? I knew you were leading me into that. No, but then, yeah, it just feels like deep isolation. I know it's obvious, but deep isolation. And your relationship with Christ, it becomes, I don't want to say non-existent, but just lesser as well, because you can't meet him in the context of community, which is where, in fact, one of the ways we meet him most powerfully. So, right. Is that a decent
I think
winged answer there? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's helpful to think about, because I think that also drives back to the point of why we need it, right? Why we need it, because we can become isolated.
Right.
And I think it draws us out of that.
Amen.
I think there's a couple more points, though, we want to hit about what exactly is characteristic of this kind of community. I know one of them I know I wanted to hit was conversation.
Of course.
I think, obviously, friendship, right, it starts with conversation. Conversation has to be a part of that. But I think when you find a transformative community, you know, maybe it's a setting like this, and you just encounter people, right? And maybe if you were just to listen, to be a fly on the wall, like, people would be talking about substantial things, things that mattered to them. Things that maybe were hurting them, things that brought them a lot of joy. They'd be talking about that, I think. But I think a lot of times you might encounter a community of some sort where that just doesn't happen. What are people talking about? Sports and the weather? I mean, maybe people are passionate about sports at times, right? But I know I've just been a part of a lot of conversations and a lot of groups where the conversation just seems so lacking and so dry, and just desiring to bring something more towards that. And I think, well, I mean, that would be a whole nother podcast, I think, about how to spark that.
Right.
But ultimately, that's a large part of what we're doing, right? We want to start these kinds of conversations, not necessarily finish them, but start meaningful conversations.
Right. And then, yeah, just I think this is a third example from the summer project. Y'all are going to have been there by the time we're done here. But so I remember last year, a group of us got together for a wedding. Actually, the couple that got married, they met at the summer. So we got to experience them meeting each other and then getting engaged and then getting married. Most of us went to the wedding. So kind of a wild experience. But four of us carpooled up there. It was in Ohio. And I remember my friend Brennan. I was in the car with a couple others, and we picked up my friend Brennan along the way. And as soon as he got in, he wasn't even in the car yet, he goes, "Hey, so listen, this is what I've been thinking about." And that's how we started our conversation in the car. We don't want to talk about anything else. Just kind of what's been going on in he was a Focus missionary at the time. So what's going on in his evangelization on campus, and what's going on in his prayer, and what he's reading, and what he's watching, and what he's listening to, and how that relates back to Christ. That's just what we talk about. Nothing really else is on our minds.
Yeah.
So again, that conversation, I think, is so important to kind of stimulate passion, really.
Yeah, and the feeling of, I wasn't in that car, but, you know, I feel like I've been in situations like that. And the feeling of, like, finally, like, somebody who I can be myself with and just, talk about these things that have been on my mind for weeks, and then there's been really nobody asking me them about it or desiring to share in conversation with me about it.
Right.
So I think that's really powerful, just thinking in my own life of those times where I felt that. That's a powerful thing. And I think the more we can be open and vulnerable ourselves into asking those questions, into encouraging those questions to be asked, encouraging things to be shared, right? Vulnerability breeds vulnerability. So you're not just going to, you know, if I want Andy to open up to me, I made eye contact with Andy as I was saying that. So he became my example.
Did you
wink?
If I
want Andy to, like, share more meaningful conversation with me, right? Well, I might have to open up a little bit, right? I might have to get to know him, figure out what he cares about, and then talk about that, right? So it does require a little bit of effort at times, I think.
Right. Great. I think we have another. We want to do one
at
more,
least,
and then we can move on.
Yeah, let's touch on it. I think there's two. We just touch on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good, yeah. One of them I have over here is evangelization, but I think more generally, authentic communities have a mission. Is that a fair way to summarize?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, right. They have a mission that they're about that brings them outside towards a common goal, towards out of themselves, right? So you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, you know, I think in my own life, some of the, when I found myself in a stagnant place, it's when I haven't had a mission. And I think having a mission, you know, ultimately that's evangelization, but whatever that looks like, whatever specific area that's in, I think calls you out of yourself and opens you up towards forming authentic, strong relationships. So I think ultimately, yeah, a Catholic community, a Christian community, right? It's just going to become stagnant if it's not outward focused, if it's not focused on welcoming others in and sharing Christ with others and serving the poor, right? Mm-hmm. I think those things have to be a part of a community for it to be transformative, or it's just going to be stagnant.
Right. Yeah, I think the word that I'm thinking of right now is courage. That's a virtue that I think you build in community. Is just having that virtue to go out and do things that you didn't otherwise have that ability.
Yeah. And it's so much easier when there's other people doing it, right? If I walk into a community and everybody's like going and serving and welcoming others in, right? It's so much easier just to join in that, right?
Right.
Than having to be the one that starts it all.
Right. Yeah.
So I think maybe the last thing that at least I wanted to talk about here was contemplation was the word I gave for it. And ultimately, I think this comes back to the outward focus of, you know, we're in friendship, right? But ultimately, we're pursuing God together. We're focused towards God. The pinnacle, the culmination, the goal of the spiritual life is contemplation of God. That's the life of heaven. We will be contemplating God, right? And so I think that has to be a part of it. And I think ultimately, where does that come from? Prayer. And so I think you have to be rooted in prayer as well to be a transformative community. Or what are you sharing with others if it's not relationship with Christ, right? If
right.
you aren't pursuing that relationship, don't bother welcoming others into it because there's
right.
nothing there.
I'm with you, yeah. Yeah, I think the conversation and contemplation kind of go together as well too, you know.
Yeah.
I have it in my mind of Gandalf smoking his pipe with, you know, Frodo outside of the Hobbit hole. You know, I am, yeah. I read Lord of the Rings for the first time recently over the quarantine, and I was overwhelmed in a positive way. Yeah, I'm thinking of just, you know, them hanging out, smoking their pipes, you know, just kind of imagining there's these periods of profound conversation. They're talking about things that are important and matter and about the ring or whatever. I'm sure you don't talk about the ring with your friends. do you have it? No. I think about just those deep conversations and then periods of silence where the two friends, Gandalf and Frodo, are just mm-hmm. smoking their pipe and thinking and pondering over what has been said. That's kind of a natural form of friendship, I think.
Yeah.
Is the, okay, I'm having conversation, we're sparking things to think about and pray about with our conversation,
right.
and then we have periods of silence where we go and pray and think and reflect
right.
on those things. And then
contemplating and then sharing the fruits of the contemplation.
Right, and then back. So it's a contemplate, share, contemplate. This is constant back
yeah.
and forth, right?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I would challenge anybody in this room to, like, how often do we talk about what we're praying about, right? What we're contemplating in our prayer. So I challenge anybody in this room to go pray first, right? Have a relationship with God, and then share what you're contemplating, right? Because chances are somebody else who's praying, like, they can relate to that.
Right.
They can share in that experience with you and probably help you along the way as well. So I think that's ultimately contemplation. Like, that's ultimately the goal, why we have all this, because that's the goal of the spiritual life.
That's a good thing you said.
Hey, thanks.
Was that an original thought?
Sort of.
Okay, all right. Some C.S. Lewis,
maybe
as it turns
Lewis
out.
Probably,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got on there?
Right, so I know the next question I think is going to be a pretty quick answer, because I think we know both of our answer, but is this community common, transformative community?
No.
No.
Okay. I don't think so.
Right.
And I'm open to being challenged by
right.
I think we both agree on this. But by
right.
anyone in the room, I'm open to being challenged that this is a common type of community, but I really don't believe it is.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, I think that where I've seen it, you know, is places like your summer projects, right? Where missionaries are on mission together. I've seen it in a lot of college ministries. College campus ministries tend to have pretty good community. Sometimes, like youth ministries, not always. Youth have a lot going on and live in different
yeah.
lives. But, you know, I think a lot of times it's there. You know, people encounter it sometimes for the first time in college. And then ultimately it's in families and in religious life, right? Those are our models, ultimately. like religious life and the family. Those are the vocations. Those are the places where community is lived out to its fullest.
Well lived out families, I think we need to establish
sure.
too. Right.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, there can be horribly broken communities right. and horribly broken families.
Right.
Well, just ultimately, healthy versions of those are the model. And so I think people like taste a little bit of that sometimes in college campus ministries or in whatever it might be that they're a part of. And then they kind of get off into the real world and it's kind of gone, especially if they're not in their vocation.
Right.
And so I think it's rare, especially in, I guess, the quote unquote real world. Is that fair to say?
That's fair. Yep. I guess
yeah. So I think was the next thing just how do we essentially how can we build that kind of community?
Yeah, I think I think one thing we wanted to jump on first yeah. was okay, we don't see this kind of community very often. What are the obstacles? Why aren't we experiencing
yeah.
that kind of community?
Yeah.
I think it's just so important. You know,
yeah.
what are the obstacles to real world community like this? Maybe
right.
you're thinking, oh gosh, I don't have that right now. Like what they're
right.
talking about. What's the obstacle? Why?
Yeah. I think I touched
thoughts.
On one routine.
Yeah.
Right. We can get into a routine and not want to go outside of ourselves, be
okay.
challenged to something greater.
That's very much. Yeah. That's very much tied to complacency. Right.
Yeah. I
like
think
just
so.
Kind of.
I
yeah.
So,
routine
yeah.
and complacency, just kind of going about our day and just not worrying about it. I want to touch on that a little bit. How? Why? What do we mean by that? Why is complacency stopping us from having community? What kinds of? I don't know. What are we doing when we're being complacent? If mm-hmm. we're not, if we don't have community. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think
we going home watching movies. What are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes it's maybe kind of a fatigue. Like I said, you've got, you know, maybe three things a week and it's like, I just don't have time or don't have room in my schedule for more.
That's kind of my points though, is what are those three things that you're doing outside of your, you know, work schedule, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I know for me, a lot of times it's coaching soccer. So, I mean,
right.
I do. I mean, there are people that have, you know, legitimate yeah. obligations outside of their workplace. But I guess I just wonder if you're not making time for community, what are you making time for?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think a question we can turn inward and ask ourselves.
Right.
I think ultimately it's about priorities, right? I think of this all the time when people would tell me when I was a missionary, especially, like, I don't have time to pray. It's like, okay, that's not true.
Right.
You make time for the things you care about. Hmm. And I think that's maybe the thing we need to think about if we're feeling complacent is you make time for the things you care about. And if you really care about this, you know, living as a part of a transformative community, living in your relationship with Christ, then you're going to make time for it. So I think it's ultimately maybe a priority reevaluation internally that needs to happen.
Right. Yeah, so again, we need to jump back to what the definition of friendship is again. I think it's so deep-seated as to what we think friendship is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if we're one of those people that goes out and says, hey, I need to go make friends. Remember, that's the type of person that can't make any, right? That can't make mm-hmm. the type of friendships that we want to experience. So, mm-hmm. Again, people that do things together are what C.S. Lewis calls companions. Mm-hmm. They're not friends. That's not friendship. Mm-hmm. That's companionship. So friendship is, again, about something. So I think the way friendship would go is, gosh, I really care about my relationship with the Lord and I desire to grow with him. Who else is around me that cares about the same thing? That's kind of how friendships and communities form, I think. So
yeah.
I think the trick is to find those types of people.
Okay. Yeah. So like the starting place is your relationship with God.
Right.
And then you go from there.
Right. So I hate to be generalized because
sure.
it could be, oh, oops, I find myself in my community and everybody's talking about Christ and all of a sudden I'm Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't go, you know, like
right.
that very often, but it does happen.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So I don't kind of want to say that it's a blanket, you know, we should go from, you know, our relationship and our prayer life to
right.
community, you know,
yeah.
maybe it happens at the same time. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, are there any other obstacles? I think the other thing we had is responsibilities. And I think
yeah.
that comes to, like, priorities as well, right? But, I mean, it may be legitimate, right? Maybe I'm, you know, you have a family, right? And you have responsibilities to them. And so how do you also live out community beyond that, right?
Right.
How do you make your family a part of a larger community?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we can feel like our responsibilities, maybe that's just our work. Maybe you work a 10, 12-hour-a-day job, right? maybe it feels like you don't have a lot of energy or time left to invest in a community after that. So I think maybe that's an obstacle people might feel.
So I would challenge that, though, a little bit. We can move on if you'd like, but I challenge that a little bit because saying that I don't have time or energy to invest in community says that community is taking away life from you. It's investing energy. It makes you more tired, which real community does not do that. It does the opposite. So I find oftentimes when I go, we have our Wednesday night, you know, groups with our, you know, men's group gang. And we hang out, we have, you know, incredible conversation. I remember one particular conversation we had, actually got a little heated. We argued a little bit, but it was amazing. I mean, it was about virtue, what it means to be, oh, it was incredible. I left just like absolutely floating. Yeah. And I floated, I did. And that was a thing on my schedule, right? That was a 2-hour block that I made. I was busy. You know, I think I came straight from soccer practice that day and I didn't get home until 9:30 or 10. And I had work the next morning, but I was filled with life after that conversation. Even though it was another thing on my schedule.
Yeah.
So I challenge that and say, you know, if you're making time for community, that should be life-giving if you're in that right type of community.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's still an objection or what was the word? Obstacle people might face, right? Because I feel like I have responsibilities getting in the way.
Yeah, getting over that initial hump,
And maybe that's rooted in a false conception of what community is.
Yeah.
I will say, too, though, I think it's harder for an introvert. I think you're more extroverted than I am. So as an introvert, I think that can be a harder thing to overcome, right? Like, well, I was around people last night. I don't know if I can do that another night. Like,
suck it up.
But I think that's where ultimately, I mean, for my introverts out there, what I found the most helpful thing is prayer, though, because prayer can be that time to recharge for me. And then ultimately, prayer and community, right? Contemplating, sharing the fruits of that contemplation. Yeah. I think when you have both of those, it's a lot easier not to burn out on even community itself.
Oh my gosh, guys, adoration. Who's with me on that? Oh my gosh. Anyway.
Yeah.
Another conversation for another time.
Yeah. In a whole nother podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So I think the last thing is how do we build that community, essentially, right?
Right. It is.
Yeah.
You may touch on that a little bit. So we're going to open this up to y'all a little bit, I think. We'd really like to hear y'all's thoughts on how to build more, transformative community in Huntsville. But I think one of the ways in which we have chosen to kind of stimulate community is through this podcast, through conversation, through colloquium. So this kind of conversation that Dylan and I have every other week now actually stemmed from conversations that we were already having with me and him and our friend Dan. This is what we would talk about when we would get together, these kinds of things. And so we decided, hey, let's just do a podcast. And maybe we can spark those kind of transformative conversations with people that are in other communities. So that's kind of our mission together as friends that we've chosen to do and to kind of put forth into this community.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think that's powerful. I mean, I think that's, and there really is a need. I think that good conversation is sometimes very lacking, especially in a world where we can turn to our smartphones whenever we get bored or tired. I think that, you know, the art of conversation has been lost, and the ability to look somebody in the eye and gauge them and, right, and to fill my boredom, I'm going to encounter another person and figure out who they are rather than kind of go in my own little false virtual reality world. And so I think that is something that we're passionate about and will always be passionate about because we've experienced the fruits of good conversation, of deep conversation, of fruitful conversation, and I think we desire to share it. So that's what we have to offer. I think what we want to do, there's always a Q&A, so we want to do Q&A like normal at Good News Cold Brews, but also offer kind of opportunity for you guys to give not questions, but feedback. Like, what do you think? What do you think your community needs, right? What do you think is holding it back from being a transformative community? So this will essentially be the end of our formal podcast version, and we just want to have a conversation now. So you guys ask questions and tell us, what do you think? What do you think this community needs to be more transformative?
This is Dylan. Thank you so much for listening to our first ever live podcast. We had a lot of fun, especially in the conversation that ensued after this podcast was recorded. And we did some Q&A, but we decided not to leave that on the podcast that we're publishing here. Otherwise, it would have been quite lengthy. But if you enjoyed this conversation, please, please go take that conversation, take your ideas, take your questions into your own communities and use it to transform the conversations and communities around you. Thank you so much for listening to our show. If you like it, follow, like us on social media, share it with your friends, and as always, go have good conversations.